We understand that the expectations of this team have gone up exponentially.
Playoffs, titles, however you strike it, we're here to win games.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We added a first ballot Hall of Fame point guard.
Chris Paul walks in, and you know instantly who's in charge.
With Chris and Devin, DeAndre, Cam, and Bridges, he's got a really strong foundation.
They become a real factor in this Western Conference race.
Don't be surprised if they make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Shazam!
Doug and Wolf talk Suns now.
Talking a ton of football today, and rightfully so. We'll get right back into football coming up in just a little over 10 minutes. Jay Feely, CBS analyst for the AFC Championship game, and just knowledgeable football dude in general, coming up to talk about the AFC, NFC Championship games. But we got to get the Suns when you have a weekend like this. A 4-point and an 8-point loss. Same opponent. One overtime on Friday, two overtimes on Saturday, and Saturday's game, we don't normally talk about it, and I will always stand on the table and say, you don't lose a game because of referees. Play better. Do referees need to get ripped when they blow calls? Yes, but it doesn't cost you the game. And I think there's a difference between poorly officiated game and refs costing you the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not very often you hear Monty Williams.
The whistle that we get is something that I got to talk to the league because I don't understand some of the calls. Like it's just getting old. There were a few, you know, I don't feel like I should have to challenge to get it right. And that part really bothers me because you lose timeouts. And, you know, I thought, you know, for DA to play that physical and foul out, and I look at Jokic, you know, I think he had three fouls. You know, those are the ones that make you scratch your head sometimes. In a physical game like this, it's hard to accept.
Here's the officiating crew from two nights ago, Saturday night's game. Dedrick Taylor, Scott Foster, Danielle Scott. Opinion. Dedrick Taylor, good ref. Scott Foster, an average ref who thinks the game was invented for him.
Great warm-up, though, right?
No, that's not Scott Foster.
It's not Scott?
No.
Stopping.
No, it's not Scott Foster. It's it's the hair-slicked back guy, and I just blanked on his name. I wasn't ready for
okay,
you to say that.
All right,
I totally
don't
blanked
worry
on his
about
name.
It. Next.
And Scott Foster
I thought it was Scott Foster.
No. He's an average ref, but he has the arrogance that's unbelievable, like the game was invented for him, and you can't possibly improve on his abilities to officiate. So he creates an animosity from the jump because he's such a jerk about believing he's the greatest.
Yo.
Danielle Scott, I wasn't familiar with her abilities until the game. And in that game, you could tell she has zero business being an NBA referee right now. Horribly not good enough at this level. Now, maybe, and like I said, I don't know her. Maybe she just had a bad game. I don't know. Everybody has a bad game. But she was atrocious last night. So I totally support. I love the way that Monty Williams handled that part of the conversation of saying, I've got to talk to the league because I don't understand where we're going because there were so many bad mm-hmm. situations. And Monty, when asked the question about the three, if you didn't see the game, end of regulation, Murray is lining up to hit a three, and they don't foul. And I admit I was wondering, why didn't you foul?
That was the plan, just to foul him. And because DA had five, worried about getting six. And so I totally, you know, as a team, we understand that, but the goal was to foul. And, you know, the only thing I could think of in hindsight was not to have him in the game, but he's one of our best defenders. And he just hit an unreal shot. But again, I thought he challenged, he traveled. But that's something that, you know, we'll look at as a squad and as a team and grow from. But I'm going to talk to the league about that because if you're going to go back and look at it, then you should see that he took more than two steps. It looked like he took four. And so if we're going to try to get it right, then we need to look at it in context and get it right. So, but to your point, yes.
It's an interesting conversation point. Monty, I would really challenge you on this. And yes, he did travel, but I would really challenge you on this.
You're talking about Jamal Murray.
Yes.
Yes.
And that is when you say you don't really know about DeAndre fouling when he's got five. Let me ask you this crazy question. When the game's over, does it matter that he had six fouls? I mean, if you win the game, does it matter that he fouled out?
Yeah.
Now, think about all that has to happen. He fouls Murray before the shot. Now he's out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you do need to get a rebound on the free throw.
Yeah.
That is important. But are you really thinking Murray's going to make the first one, perfectly miss the second one, and they're going to get the stick back to tie it? And you that you're asking so much as opposed to Murray's ability to hit a three-pointer.
No.
I think you got to foul even if you're about to lose DeAndre Ayton. I don't think that's up for discussion.
Yeah. I don't want to get down in the weeds too much on this, Douglas. I really don't. Here's what I know based on our needs. The Suns started the season 6-2, and they followed it up 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is that right now? Through 15 games, what do we know about this team? One of the things I think we know is they struggle in crunch time. In crunch time. And that was one of the things that I was so buoyed by the presence of Chris Paul and the fact that he was here. I was so excited about that because I thought, man, this is clutch if ever there was clutch. And I think if you go back to last year, of course, and watch him play in those clutch time situations, man, it was lights out for Chris Paul. He was fantastic. And right now I think the Suns are struggling because there's a chemistry issue, and you already brought it up this morning, and I agreed with it then, between CP3 and D-Book.
And when you talk about it, we don't mean chemistry like they don't like each other, they're rubbing each other the wrong way. Chemistry in developing knowledge of where are you going to be, where am I going to be, where do you want me to go, things like that.
Before the second game on Saturday night, Kellen Olson of ArizonaSports.com, based on audience, he had this great column and this great stat. Going into the second Denver game, that's going into Saturday night, the Suns were minus 23 in 41 crunch time minutes, according to NBA stats. Minus 23 in 41 crunch time minutes. That ranked 29th in the NBA.
I'm amazed somebody's worse. Really?
I know. Because you feel that, right? You feel the discombobulation, if you will, when it's crunch time and they're trying to figure it out. And this is the reason why I'm not panicking about this, because I believe they will figure it out.
I think other than James Harden, Chris Paul's whole career has been the team is better off with him having the ball in crunch time because most of the players around him aren't as good at creating a shot for themselves. So you want Chris Paul's brain on that play to decide who should get this ball. Based on, I'm going to see what the defense is doing on my attack, and I'm going to get the ball and make the great decision, whether it's a DeAndre Jordan lob, whether it's a Blake Griffin post-up, no matter what it is, he's the best at figuring it out. This is where we want to go. And I don't think that's the case on this team. I think anytime you take the ball out of Devin Booker's hands, that's a mistake. And I'm not saying throughout the game. Throughout the game, Chris Paul's got to bring it up.
Sure.
Get that away from Devin Booker. Yeah. Let him come up the ball freely so he can just, you know, blah, blah, blah. But in that crunch time situations, I think Devin's got to have the ball. And if they choose to double, then we'll find Chris Paul. But you can't take it out of D-Book's hands.
And I also think in some crunch time situations, CP3 has struggled.
Yes. Absolutely.
He has turned the ball. There were 8 turnovers.
His turnovers are way much higher than what I remember seeing him play for other teams.
Exactly right. So I think it's messing with him
exactly
as well.
Because it's not like he suddenly stinks.
No.
I think it's more of a force. I've got to do this for D-Book or this has to happen. And I think it would dramatically improve if the ball just started with him. And the other thing is, we have been 100% right in hammering DeAndre Ayton for the last 2 years or so. But if Ayton's going to keep playing at a higher level, he's got to be considered a weapon more often.
I'm telling you, man.
He had 13 shots on Friday night, 27 points, 13 boards. I have to ask, why only 13? Jokic had 27. I mean, if he's playing this hard now, he's got to be a weapon. I don't mind him with 20 seconds on the shot clock being up top setting screens. But at some point, Aiden's got to get the ball on the block. That's got to be part of the offense. If he's not engaged, if he's playing like he has in the past, I'm not saying any of this.
Yes, right, exactly right.
Don't give him the ball. He hasn't earned it.
That's exactly right.
But now if he's going to be playing like this, why is he only getting 13 shots?
But all that is it's just it's making the decision more difficult. It's throwing a wrench even more into the chemistry of this team because they have to account for DeAndre Ayton, this wild Mustang that is developing. Now they're trying to win games while they got this wild Mustang developing, and now they got to factor him into the equation as well. The end game scenario. They got a lot of new faces,
yep.
A lot of chemistry issues. They got to get ironed out, and that's why I'm not going to panic.
Acting like it's not a problem is a terrible mistake.
Totally agree.
Overreacting is a terrible mistake, too.
Doomed.
I think time is the only thing that's going to fix it, and I do believe they'll get it fixed. Too many smart people. Monty Williams, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, too high of basketball IQ not to get that solved. Jay Feely, special teams analyst for CBS on Sunday, and Super Bowl 55. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Why CBS hasn't figured out if we're going to bring him to Kansas City and we're going to bring him to Tampa, let's let him talk more. Yet, I do kind of understand there's only so much Jay Feely you could take in a day. Jay Feely joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I'm sure you can impress the CBS folks and say, Doug and Wolf says I should talk more. How do you think that would go?
My wife, I think, would agree with you that there's only so much of me that you can take.
Jay, how you doing, my friend?
I'm my girl's soccer team.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, that's awesome, buddy.
That's true. I need to introduce you not as the CBS special teams analyst, but as the state champion head coach from the east side joining Doug and Wolf.
That was last year. We're 1-0 this year.
We got to make it about this year. You're right. You're still defending champion, even though you sound like Bill Belichick now, going Belichick on your kids. Out of everything you saw this weekend, number one thing on your mind, Jay?
Kansas City Chiefs have so much speed, and they're so hard to beat. You know, I mean, and Patrick Mahomes, with turf toe and not practicing hardly at all for the last 3 weeks, you know, comes out there and just lights it up. And some of the plays he made were just spectacular. Well, if I mean plays where he's dead to rights, you have sacks, and he's able to not only avoid the sack but make a throw, and, you know, they're just spectacular. If you give him an inch at all, light you up, and they're just so difficult to beat. You know, they you just watch them play and you just shake your head.
No, yeah, I'm with you, Jay, on that. It really is. It's the defeatist nature of it all that drives me crazy. They put so much pressure on all three phases. I mean, they put pressure on your offense to go out there and score, and if you're not scoring touchdowns, you're in trouble. And it makes coaches take a lot more chances, I think, than they normally
they
would.
That's the biggest thing I didn't understand from the Bills was you have fourth and two from the two, and you don't go for it. You kick the field goal. You got fourth and three from the eight, and you don't kick the field goal. And when they did that both times, I'm like, game's over.
Yes.
Game's over. And the Chiefs are getting the ball coming out after halftime, and you just know you have to go for touchdowns.
Yes.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, too, because I also look at it in the NFC Championship game. Wolf doesn't quite agree with me, but I thought Marty Morenweg's decision to kick off in overtime, to start in overtime, is still the worst coaching decision I've ever seen. And I thought the decision to take the ball from Aaron Rodgers and say, here, Tom Brady, you can have it, is the second worst coaching decision I've ever seen. And you bring up the two from Sean McDermott. I get that those decisions by both losing coaches are probably the right decision in September. And they might even be the right decision in a normal postseason. But when the other team has Mahomes or Brady, I think they're wrong every time. And that's when you've got to throw away the book and say, this is the way it is today. And I don't think either coach was prepared to throw away the book and do what they had to do to beat Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady.
We were getting ready for our game to start. I was watching the end of that Green Bay game, and I tweeted it. Like, I do not understand the decision not to go for it on fourth down here. You're down eight. You still need a touchdown. You kick the field goal. You still got to go score a touchdown. And you have Aaron Rodgers. Allow him to go for the touchdown. If you don't get it, they're backed up at their you know, eight inside the 10-yard line, you got three timeouts, get the ball back and try and do it again.
Yeah. I don't even like the decision if you're down by six. But at least you could argue, well, we get two field goals, we tie it. But the idea that you're going to kick a field goal, and then we still have to go down and get another touchdown. Nothing's changed with that field goal.
Well, Aaron Rodgers couldn't understand it either.
You know, I got to ask you, though, Jay, how close were we to an absolute brawl at the end of that game? I mean, it got nasty those last three minutes.
You look at the Bills team, and the only game they lost the last 12 games was that Hail Mary game, you know, and so there was so much momentum. They were playing so well, and it was just, I think, a culmination of frustration for them for that entire day, and knowing that they had blown their chance, knowing that they weren't gonna get to the Super Bowl, and you don't want to see a game end like that, but you certainly understand their frustration.
You know who I'm going to put it on? Listen, I thought, including the pass interference, I thought it was a well-officiated game. But I'm going to put the skirmishes at the end on Bill Vinovich. He's blowing his whistle, calling Josh Allen down, and then Allen takes one more shot. And how you're not running in as an official to get in the middle of that play and throw a flag as soon as it happens to establish I'm not allowing that hit. When he does nothing, that becomes open season for the Chiefs, or excuse me, for the Bills to get retaliation. You just hit our quarterback. And because why are you blowing the whistle that early in that sack if you're not going to protect the quarterback?
Well, you know, Josh took a number of sacks that he shouldn't have taken.
That's true, too.
In that game, and that really hurt him. You know, and that sack, you know, was a brutal sack to take. And then when he's on the ground, he throws the ball, you know, and hits the guy in the face.
Right.
And that's really what started it
off.
Yes, right.
Very true.
You know,
right.
So a lot of it is on Josh Allen.
I think all that stops, though, if Vinovich is in the way. If he's right there as soon as he starts blowing that whistle.
Yeah, but he couldn't have been because he was going down. He gunned him.
Listen. Not watch, listen, yeah. Actually. It's the whistle starts blowing so far before that extra hit on Josh Allen. Don't just stand there and blow your whistle. Blow it and get in there. And then as soon as he throws Josh Allen down, throw the flag right at him. Hey, we're not going to stand for this. And he was lazy. He was slow.
How'd you think Josh Allen played overall?
Poor. I thought it was his worst game that I saw him play since the Titans game that I did. You know, early in the season, the two bad games he had during the season were the Titans game and the Chiefs game, and then he played poorly again. And it was just, you know, he wasn't taking the simple things. He wasn't taking the underneath routes that they knew were going to be open. He was forcing things down the field. He missed throws when they were there, and you know, he'll grow and learn from that. You know, and he's gotten so much better. And what I've learned about him, which I love, Wolf, is that he's hypercritical of himself. And he goes into an off season and he says, how can I get better?
Wow.
And he allows people to criticize him. He allows people to break him down. He sits down. He seeks out people that will tell him, here's what you can do, the next steps that you can take to get better. And then he sets out to accomplish those. And he's done it every year in the off season. That's what I love about him.
You're killing me.
Hearing you say that, it brings up the big question. I realize that Kyler Murray is not Pat Mahomes. I realize it. But how far off are the Cardinals from a Chiefs style of offense? I don't think that's that far of a reach, and yet it is. You know what I mean?
I do, but I'll tell you why I think it's a reach right now. Because what separates Patrick Mahomes and makes him special is his mental abilities, his ability to recall. He's got this photographic memory, and so Andy Reid can have an expansive playbook. He can bring things back that he hasn't worked on since 3 months ago, and Patrick is able to recall it. He's so smart, and he studies hard, and he understands defenses, and he knows where to go with the ball before the ball is snapped. And so because of his physical gifts, the fact that he's so intellectually smart as well, that allows him to be such a great quarterback.
It's so important.
That's where Kyler Murray needs to take the next step in his maturation.
Yes, no, I totally agree with that right there. I really do, and it's one of the reasons why it gives me a little bit of hope. Hopefully year three, just like Josh Allen took off, I think we'd all agree, exploded here in year three. Now, there were some signs of that explosion coming if you looked at year two, but nothing like year three. It absolutely exploded for the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen in year three, and I'm hoping the same thing happens. But, man, you love a quarterback that's going to walk away and say, I'm going to criticize myself first. I'm going to be my own harshest critic because I don't want to listen to anybody else critique me. I want to go ahead and do what I need to do in order to get better. And I think that is the charge for every player, not just a quarterback, but every player. Yeah. Get better in the offseason.
He literally moves in, and Sam Darnold has done this too, and he hasn't seen the results, but he moves in with Jordan Palmer out in California, and they spend months out there together breaking down, you know, what he can do better and how he can get more accurate and what areas he needs to fix and how to become more of a rotational thrower and all these different things that they've been working on, you know, and they break it down biomechanically and they look at it each day and they just try and fix it, try and make him better and understand the game better.
Former Cardinals kicker Jay Feely, special teams analyst for CBS and just regular NFL football analyst on other games on CBS. Okay, I don't have the schedule in front of me. It's not out yet, but I'm going to guess the day is Sunday the 12th of September, where the majority of NFL teams will start playing again in 2021. So on Sunday, September 12th, who will be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
There's no doubt in my mind. It's still Aaron Rodgers.
Who will be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans?
That's a tougher question. And I don't know if they move him. I don't know how you move a guy like that who's been so good despite everything you've done. And I think go in Eric Bieniemy and make him the head coach, that he has the ability to go in there and to mend that fence and to mend that relationship.
I'll tell you, though, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm not taking the job until I know Deshaun Watson is staying.
I will be honest with you and tell you the one thing I told Eric Bieniemy when I did a game with him, when we did a production meeting, was be patient. Don't take the first job off. Take the right to you, because the situation he's in with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in that offense, they're going to be good year in and year out. He's going to have opportunities. And so it's not like a lot of coaches where, okay, I get a job, I got to go take it. And everybody wants that head coaching job. But I really believe he's in the situation where he can be patient.
That's really a good suggestion right there.
Yeah, the world's coming to an end when you take coaching advice from Jay Feely, but you're right. So that's kind of scary. Good to talk to you, Jay. Thanks, buddy.
Fire all over. Hey, I just want to say, before the season, I picked Bucks Chiefs. Mid-season, when the Bucks were struggling, I picked Bucks Chiefs. I texted you guys that a couple weeks ago at the beginning of the playoffs. That's what's going on.
Okay, wait a minute.
All right, Jay.
Between Jay Feely, Doug Franz, and Ron Wolfley, who vacations with Tom Brady from time to time? Of course you pick the Bucks. No credit. No credit at all.
Yeah, just go hug the goat, okay, Jay?
I will. Hopefully they win and I get to go to the after party. I'll send you pictures.
Well done. Well done.
All right, love you, buddy. Thank you, man.
Jay. There's Jay Feely.
Love you, too.
Joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you want a new or pre-owned Nissan, you want coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. I guess it's not name dropper if I'm the one dropping the Tom Brady name on him. Coming up next, Bucks go through Brady, Chiefs go through Mahomes, Packers and Bills go through their quarterbacks. You just heard what Jay talked about. What about the Cardinals? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You might have just heard Minch say this. We try to do whatever we can to keep sports and politics separated, but sometimes they hit each other right in the face. And this is one of those times that it has. Bram Resnick is a reporter for 12 News, and he just tweeted out the fact that he has secured a letter, and the letter is from the mayors of just about every city, and I think every city, that hosts spring training baseball.
Okay.
And it also includes the president of the Maricopa Indian community, which is for the Rockies and D-backs in Salt River.
Yeah.
And they are all saying Maricopa County COVID rates are too high to have spring training. and they're at, and the letter is to the commissioner of baseball, and they're asking the commissioner to delay the start of spring training. Most teams will be planning on pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training at some point in about the next 2 weeks, usually right around 16th, 17th, 18th, right in there of February. So that is 3 weeks away. And they are now requesting this. And the reason why I say it's there's politics involved here is because when you see a member of the media have a hold of this letter, that means these mayors are basically saying, we don't think we're getting the right leadership out of the governor or whoever's above us, so we're going to go public and over their head. Because this is probably, and I'm guessing, Doug Ducey and I haven't had a beer over this, but I'm guessing the governor is all full bore, we're having spring training, here we go.
Okay.
And I bet the commissioner is all full bore, we're having spring training. Now, here are all the mayors saying, we don't want spring training yet. Now, they get all flowery in the letter.
Okay.
We love baseball. We love our partnership.
Yeah.
We love you, commissioner. Just don't come by now. And I'm just interested
on... Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is, though? Stop and think about it, right? I mean, they want to delay it. Why? So they can make money, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. They want people. They want people here, coming here, buying tickets, sitting in their restaurants. That's, they want to delay. It makes total sense to me as to why they want to delay it. I just don't know if that's going to make good sports sense.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see, because the baseball is probably looking at it very similarly to football. They powered through. Now, granted, football eliminated the preseason, and that's what spring training is.
Man.
But spring training is a million-dollar business and a major entity and an economic driver for the state,
and
but you still have public health concerns.
It is so, boy, it's a great question. It really is. And I think, I mean, when you think of trying to get a pitcher ready for the season, oh, my goodness, you got to get this guy some innings, right? You got to stretch this guy out.
And we can't help but remember the Diamondbacks failed miserably in preparing for last season.
Right.
With a condensed spring training.
Yeah.
With no training, really.
Although I think we'd all agree that the football in September wasn't the best football that we possibly could see. We all kind of wondered, do you really need preseason?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need preseason? If, in fact, they can come out and play this well in September, do you really need preseason? And that has been an argument that has gone on over the last couple of decades, really, in the NFL.
Which most baseball people will say you have to have it in order to get the pitcher stretched out.
Exactly right. It's a different sport because of that.
And so this is something that we will definitely keep an eye on. Again, it is huge news, both economically and sports-wise. Most of the mayors, and again, I haven't done the math to see if it's the mayor of every single city. A couple city managers are on here, but including the executive director of the Cactus League. They have all written a letter, signed it, and sent it to Rob Manfred, asking to delay until more like mid-March.
Mm.
Now, keep in mind, spring training starts, as far as games are concerned, the last weekend of February. And their belief is, if you haven't been following the numbers still make Maricopa County one of the worst. And that's if you buy every number that's out there. I'm not going to get into that
right.
Political conversation.
Right. Here we
but
go.
If you buy into all the numbers, Maricopa County is one of the highest, if not the highest in the country. But the numbers are trending down.
Yes.
So their belief is, let more of the vaccines get their work in. Let the vaccines get into more arms. And then let's start spring training then. But that really would mess up Major League Baseball getting the season started at the time they want, and they want a 162-game season.
You want COVID-19 news, base annoyance? Come to me. I'm the guy. I'll sit here. I'll tell you. Let me tell you something about COVID.
What are you going to tell us today, Will?
I have totally gotten out of the COVID business. I'm done with it.
Well, don't worry. You can't be wrong, because whatever you say now, everybody's wrong 2 hours later, so it's all right.
Yeah.
It's exactly. No problem.
Next.
A tough conversation. We'll see what happens, and we'll keep an eye on that throughout the day and see what Rob Manfred says or if he ignores it openly. I mean, it's kind of hard to do spring training if all the mayors are saying, we don't want you here.
Yeah.
That's a little difficult. But at the same time, the governor, I'm assuming, is going to say, hey, please come. We'd love to have you. We'd love to see you here. And bring everybody that you're willing to bring, as long as you can get tickets. So speaking of that, you know, I don't know about plans. Is it individual stadium based? Is it individual team based? Is it a Major League Baseball decision? Trying not to wade into the COVID argument, yeah. Just speaking as a fan. It was so good to watch football and actually hear crowd noise this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, how many of us are just so sick of it? And it's almost to the point where you've gotten used to no fans. And I hate the canned fan noises in every park. And to actually hear the Green Bay Packers fans with those metal-banging noisemakers that they had.
What in the world do they get right there?
And then watching the Chiefs game, it seemed like it wasn't a sellout, but it seemed like there were people all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like a crowd when your home team is losing late in the fourth quarter, where you still have plenty of people, but a lot of guys have left. It looked like that as a normal game, but there was that many people there.
I was so impressed with the Green Bay Packers and Lambeau Field and the fact they handed out, I don't know what it was. Do you know what it is? Did you see it at all? Do you have any guess as to what they handed out to these people? It almost looked like a boogie board. That's what I was likening it to, a boogie board where they took those things and they were smashing the seat in front of them, smashing the bleachers, whatever it was, and the sound that it was making was really annoying.
If you're a Packers fan, I would love for you to have already asked somebody, because according to the official statistics, there were 7,772 people there.
Man.
Now, it looked like a lot more on television than 7,000,
yeah.
But it certainly sounded like a lot more than 7,000.
We're going to fudge that just a little bit.
7,700. And then one small thing that's kind of funny is the NFL made a beautiful decision. They are giving free tickets to a ton of health and safety workers
for
the Super Bowl.
Man.
Well, one thing I didn't think about, I'm assuming it's in the Tampa area. And if it is, you just brought in all these Bucks fans for a home game at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's pretty cool. They had no idea they're going to a Super Bowl. Now they're going, and now they're going to see history, the first home team to ever host a Super Bowl in their park. So it's kind of crazy how all of that worked out. Coming up next, do you see a scenario? Which is more plausible, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers? In the NFC West.
Neither.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
So the weekend started, quarterback news-wise, with Chris Mortensen with the first official report, although not from Deshaun Watson, that says he wants out. So Chris Mortensen's first, whether it's true or not, says he wants out.
Yeah.
So now Deshaun Watson wants out. Then Tom Brady beats the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. And Aaron Rodgers, who is from Northern California, says,
a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most, getting this far. Obviously, there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not. But just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
He's talking about when he's done, right? He's talking about when it's all over.
In Green Bay or altogether?
It's just all together. That's what he's talking about, generally speaking, right? He's not talking about his future being so uncertain as to what's going to happen this year.
Rob Domofsky covers the Packers for years for ESPN.
It's hard when the guy who that you draft to bring, you know, to replace you is here. Like I said this, and I'm sure this is totally unlikely, but maybe Jordan Love becomes like Jimmy Garoppolo and they trade him, because like look what happened with Brady. You know, he played great for all those years after they pick Garoppolo, and he was the same age as Rodgers is now when they drafted him, 37. But, you know, it's just there's so much unknown. You know, when Rodgers told us last week that his future is a beautiful mystery, you know, it seemed like a great quote at the time. I'm just not sure how beautiful it is if you're, you know, sitting here now that you didn't get to the Super Bowl.
I mean, how many hints does the guy have to drop before we take it pretty seriously?
Take what seriously?
The fact that he could be gone.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be elevated to the front office?
This morning on, no, that he wants out of Green Bay. This morning on Get Up.
What do we know about Aaron Rodgers' future?
Well, if you listened to the call yesterday, he sounded like a guy who was preparing to walk away from Green Bay. Now, it's the right after the game, Greeny, so it's a highly emotional time. It's a long, trying season for everybody. Everybody's trying to get through it, and clearly Aaron Rodgers, as he himself said, wants to step back and gather some time and take some time to make a decision. But let's just break this down, right? He himself said last week that his future was a beautiful mystery. Those are the words that he used, a beautiful mystery. We know that he was not particularly enthralled with the team's selection of Jordan Love. We know that he's at the point of his career where clearly he's frustrated with these playoff defeats. Now, again, let's get ahead of ourselves. He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for three more seasons.
Thank you.
So they control him for three more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go rogue here and force my way out of there, and I want to be traded.
If he says,
Carson Palmer.
If he says, I'm going to retire, and Carson Palmer's the only one that said it and actually did it.
Right.
Okay, he left the Bengals, and that was it.
Way to go, Parson.
The cap hit that's going to strike the Packers is $31 million.
No.
So if you're going to take the $31 million cap hit either way, don't you have to get something for him? If he's serious about retiring, those are your choices. $31 million cap hit, get nothing. $31 million cap hit, trade Aaron Rodgers and get something.
Listen, this entire season with Aaron Rodgers, I think most of us agree that he was trying to prove something, correct?
Yes.
He was on a mission. Aaron Rodgers was on a mission all year of 2020 and into 2021. And that mission was, you're going to go ahead and draft a quarterback instead of giving me some talent on the outside? Well, watch this. He was so upset and put out by that he went out and had what many people believe is the best year Aaron Rodgers has ever played.
Hard to argue.
It's hard to argue. And it's hard to argue with Devontae Adams having the season that he had as well, that you needed a wide receiver, Aaron. It's difficult to argue that. Look how well you played. Look how well the team played.
Tell me if this would mount up your frustration, though. I read a stat this morning from ESPN Stats and Info. There's only one quarterback in NFL history who has ever been eliminated from the playoffs three times and thrown three touchdown passes in those three games. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Wow.
So he's being eliminated in playoff games where he's playing reasonably well. Three playoff losses.
When you say three touchdowns, you mean three touchdown
passes?
He
threw three touchdown passes in three different playoff losses.
Okay.
That's never happened.
Okay.
Yesterday was the third.
Okay, but how much once again?
Now, how sick of this is he?
Will he take on for himself? How much is he to blame as well? I wonder about that. I really do. And let me just say this about Aaron Rodgers' base and onions. The whispers in terms of him being a leader, oh, they're out there as well. The whispers of Aaron Rodgers and the fact that he has a tendency to sulk from time to time, that he's not maybe the best leader of men either, oh, they're out there for Aaron Rodgers. Those whispers in the corners of facility buildings across the league.
You'd still take him.
Now, I don't know that to be the case. I'm just saying there are whispers out there that he isn't the best leader you could possibly have.
I wouldn't mind having Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk learn how to be a receiver with him as quarterback, though.
Not saying you're wrong on that. I am not saying that. But it is interesting because that has followed him throughout his career as well. And he is one of the greatest of all time, a future Hall of Famer,
yep,
bar none.
Schefter, any more?
And if Aaron Rodgers wants to go play somewhere else in the state of California or wherever it is, he has the power to do that.
Right.
It would take a huge set of cojones to do that. It would take a lot of courage. It would upset a lot of people and rub them the wrong way. But if that's what he wants to do, That's what he's entitled to do.
I'm dying to know this question.
Is he entitled to do that? I totally disagree with Adam Schefter. Is he entitled to do that?
Nobody's entitled to
do that. He's under contract.
But I do
ask
this.
He's entitled to play as a mercenary. That's what he's entitled to.
What do you think he thinks about the way Brett Favre ended his career? He was right there knowing you could have retired as a Packer and all that that means and goes with it. And then look at the way Brett Favre ended his career. And does he look at that now and say, so be it. That's the way to go? Or you know what? It's not that bad. Brett Favre's gotten along just fine. Or does he think that was a terrible decision by Brett Favre? Because he's basically going down the exact same road.
It's all about me, isn't it? It's all about me.
No, it's all about the you.
How did the show make you feel?
Thank you, girl.
Doug and Wolf's. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My biggest takeaway from today's show is every day it gets closer to the feeling that Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the 49ers.
Oh, grateful nation, base attorney, and Super Bowl 55 is set. Peace and strength.